We've come to sermon number 24, an investment you can't lose. This is a sermon on stewardship. It talks about the stewardship of your time, the stewardship of the goods that God has given you, the stewardship of your money. Stewardship is a key sermon. Throughout Scripture, God gives us varied tests. He invites us to give Him 1/7 of our time, the Sabbath, as an indication that all of our time is His. He also invites us to give Him 1/10 of our income in tithe as an indication that everything we own is His. And so the tithing question is a vital question. It tests the depths of the heart. It tests our loyalty, as does the Sabbath. It tests where our affections are. It tests where our heart is. It tests where our mind is. We begin the sermon by pointing out that in the last few years, page one, millions of dollars have been made by people investing money in the stock market. But we also point out that overnight, people have lost millions in the stock market. In fact, one day recently, one of the world's richest men lost $12 billion. Now, what's the purpose of this opening illustration? It's to show you the fluctuation that there is in income. You can make money and you can lose money. You can make it quick and you can lose it quick. It's to show you that there is no stability in trusting human riches. That's the whole purpose of that illustration. That leads us to Matthew chapter 6, verse 31 to 32. And Matthew 6 is the text that launches us into the sermon. Matthew 6, and it's verse 31 and 32. Give this text emphasis as you move into your sermon. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what will we eat, or what will we drink, or what will we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Scripture says that God will give to us security, and that there is a security in placing God first in your life. There's a security in Christ. God has a plan for our security, and that plan began in the Garden of Eden. We describe the Garden of Eden. We point out how God put there, page two, peaceful lakes and gorgeous flowers, how God provided everything we need and how He provided for our needs. Page three, we talk about in Genesis 1, verse 29, how God provided us food to eat, how He provided us fresh air to breathe, how He provided us clear water to drink, and how He gave us, page four, dominion over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the air. We come to a key text in Psalm 24, verse 1. This is an extremely key text. And on page 5, there are two key texts that I would suggest that you read with your audience. Now, there's a reason for that. There are a lot of people who believe that they have earned their own income and what they have is theirs. And they have this unusually strange idea where they say, look, I made what I earned with the sweat of my brow, with the work of my hands, and I'm not going to give that to the church. We need to shift in their thinking if they're going to be faithful in stewardship. There has to be a shift from I made this, I did this, to the fact that everything in the world is the Lord's, and He's the one who's given me the ability to make wealth. Unless that shift takes place in the mind, they're going to want to hoard what they have. Secondly, they need to see that in giving, they're not giving to the church, a bureaucratic, organizational institution, but it's the giving to the Lord. So those are the points we want to make in the sermon. These two texts help us to do that. Psalm 24, verse 1. And you want to read this. And I would say to my audience, let's read this together from the screen. It says, the earth is the Lord's. And the what, everybody? And all of its fullness, or the fullness thereof. So who owns the earth? It is who? The Lord's. Now look at Deuteronomy 8, verse 18. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18. Again, let's read this together. Deuteronomy 8 and verse 18, reading together. And you shall remember. Now, was there another text in the Bible that talks about remember? What was that? The Sabbath. Remember, God says 1/7 of your time dedicate to me as an indication that every minute of your time is mine. It's not to keep you, that you keep the Sabbath and do everything else like you please. Here's a second text that says remember. And it says remember what? Remember the Lord your God, for it is He who gives you power to get wealth. So wealth is a gift. Finances are a gift that God gives to us. He says remember. So everything I have comes from God. All the talents to make money I have come from God. The job I have comes from God. Everything in this world comes from God. So we take them through and understand that we are stewards. We're stewards of God's property. It's a gift that he's given us. We go down here on pages 17 and 18, and we point out that all of life is a gift of God, that life is a gift. I didn't choose to be born, but every breath I speak, I take, is a gift of God. In fact, you'll find that on page 8, Acts 17, verse 24 and 25, another text that's good to read. See, what we're trying to show our audience is that all the world was created by God. Everything in it is his. We're trying to show him that every talent we have is God's, and every breath we take is given to us by God. For example, Acts chapter 17, verse 24, it says, Acts 17, verse 24 and 25, it says, God made the world and everything in it. He's the Lord of heaven and earth. Notice verse 28. It says, in him we live and move and have our being. In other words, every breath comes from God. Top of page 9. Our life originates with God. He sustains it. Every heartbeat, every breath of air, every pulse of our bodies comes from God. So we are his by creation. He has given us the gift of life. He's also given us talents that we are stewards of. That's page 10. See, we point out here that God owns everything. We point out here that life is a gift that comes from God. We point out here that our talents are gifts that come from God. Then we come down to our money on page 11. We're stewards of the money that God has given us. Then we raise the question, how can we acknowledge in a tangible way that money is a gift that comes from God? That's page 13. We look at the bottom and middle of the page, and there's a question that's raised, and I would definitely read Psalm 116, verse 12, because it takes you into the whole issue of tithing. Psalm 116, page 12, middle of 13, and you'll want to read that from the screen with your audience. And again, you're not reading every text, but you're reading the key ones. Psalm 116, verse 12. David asks, what shall I render to the Lord for all his benefits toward me? In other words, how am I going to say thanks to God? How can I say thank you, God, for the gift of life? How can I say thank you, God, for my job? How can I say thank you, God, for the talents that you've given me? How can I say thank you, God, for all of this? Is just a mere thank you enough? There was a way established in the Old Testament to say thanks to God. Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, let's go back to Leviticus 27, verse 30, another passage to read. Here's a way to say thanks to God, to recognize that God has set aside one-tenth of everything that we have. Leviticus 27, verse 30 says, in all the tithe of the land, whether of the seed of the land or the fruit of the land or the tree, is the Lord's, it's holy unto the Lord. So the tithe is something to the Lord. Now read that from the screen and ask your audience, what does the Bible say the tithe is to the Lord? It is what to the Lord? What is it? Tell me. It is holy to the Lord. Now, if this is holy to the Lord, it means it's not mine. So when I give God tithe, I'm not paying my tithe, I'm returning his tithe. So tithe is something that God commands us to set aside as an indication that we believe he's given us all the good gifts of life, as a recognition that everything in this world is his. We go on to page 14 and 15. Page 15, we quote Jesus' statement regarding tithe, where Christ says, this you ought to have done. And we come over to Malachi chapter 3, the bottom of page 16. Malachi 3 is one of the strongest statements in the Old Testament regarding tithe. And it's found in Malachi 3, the last book of the Old Testament, and it raises a question. It raises a question. Malachi 3, verse 8 says, Malachi 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Now, wouldn't that be a tragic thing if somebody robbed God? I have a little illustration you might want to use here. And if you want to use it, fine, you can add it. I was holding a series of meetings, and you can preface it like this. A friend of mine, Pastor Mark Finley, was holding a series of meetings in one large city in America. And shortly after the meeting was over, they had taken up the offering, of course, during the meeting, and after the meeting was over, the deacon was taking the offering to place it in his car. Two men came up from behind the deacon and actually robbed the offering. Would you like to have the accountability before God to rob an offering? Would you like that? But there's another way we can rob God. We may not think of taking money out of the offering plate. We may not think of taking the offering. In this actual instance, the deacon put the offering down. He was not accosted, but he put it down. And when he did, he put it in what he thought was a secure place, and thieves saw him and robbed it. Would you like to be accountable for robbing God's money? Certainly not. But the Bible says, Malachi chapter 3, verse 8, will a man rob God? Yet you have what? Robbed me. How? You say, in what way have we robbed you? In tithes and offerings. So you're cursed with a curse, this whole nation. Verse 10, bring all the tithes to the storehouse that there can be food in my house, and prove me now if I'll not open the windows of heaven. God says that if you are faithful in giving, he will open the windows of heaven. Now, the reason we are faithful in tithe is not selfishly to get a blessing from God. The reason we're faithful is because Christ has done so much for us. He's given us talents. He's redeemed us on the cross. He's given us the gift of life. Be sure to read Luke chapter 6, verse 38. Luke chapter 6 says that there is a natural reflex action. When you give with a loving, kind, compassionate heart, Luke 6, 38, page 17 says, give and it will be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. I cannot afford not to be faithful in my tithe. I can't afford it because I want God's blessing, not God's cursing, and Christ has done so much for me. We end this sermon on page 19 with the story of that man in Luke chapter 12, verse 18 and 19, who says, I'm going to build bigger barns and bigger barns and bigger barns, and I'm even going to make more money. But God says, this night, your soul is required of you. Life is a gift that God has given us. We can spend all of our life trying to make money and lose our soul. Jesus says, acknowledge the gifts that I've given to you by being faithful with your tithe. I love that old hymn that says, the things that we love and hold dear to our hearts are just borrowed. They're not ours at all. Jesus only lets us use them to brighten our lives. So remind us, dear Lord. Would you like to say, Lord, I want to put you first place in my heart? I want to acknowledge that everything I have is yours. I want to acknowledge that all the talents I have are yours, and all the gifts of life that you give me are yours. And Lord, I want to be faithful in my tithe because I long to please you with all my heart. And I long to receive heaven's richest, most glorious blessing. Why don't you make that decision as we bow our heads to pray? And at that point, we bow our heads to pray. I do not ask people to make a financial decision by raising their hand. It's a personal decision between them and God. And I'll normally have the organ play or the piano play, and I'll say, now, if you'd like to make this decision, would you please make that in your heart right now? Tell God that you want to be faithful in your tithe. You want to be faithful in your stewardship. Make that commitment. Maybe you've never made that commitment before. Maybe you've done it once and you've kind of drifted away from that commitment, but you want to make that right now. Would you like to do that? And then they pray. Now, always when people make a decision, I like to give them an outlet for their decision. And so what I normally will do is in our evangelistic meetings, I do not take up an offering every night. The reason I do not do that is people kind of think then that's what you're interested in is money, that's all. On Friday nights, I pass out an envelope every Friday night, and then I ask them to bring the envelope back on a Saturday night, and we do far, far better. Once I presented tithe, I say something like this to them. It may be that you have been impressed regarding tithe for your very first time, just put it right in that envelope that we give you here at the meetings, and you can bring it back. And I just make that little statement, and God blesses in such incredible, amazing ways. When we do that, it's just miraculous what God does. So teach people the tithing principle and watch how the Lord uses tithe to capture their hearts for Him and His kingdom.